Isn't God good? Hallelujah. Today I'd like to talk to you about a mother's prayer, and specifically about the importance of prayer in our lives, whether you be a lady or whether you be a gentleman, all right? But I'd like to specify and bring out one of the Bible characters today and really teach a lot about this woman of faith. But before I do, I'd like to give you an important word from the Lord. This is important. When you pray, remember this: God always moves in a process. Okay? It's a very important thought. In prayer, prayer is a process. Not always are things instant. For instance, you can pray and get instant results, but a lot of times prayer is a process. And understanding this had made a radical difference in my life, that prayer is a process. I'd like to take an example. If you can look at 1 Samuel chapter 1, if you have your Bibles with you today. 1 Samuel chapter 1 is an example given of a woman called Hannah. And I'm going to share with you a little bit about Hannah here in just a few minutes. But before I do, I want to talk and set a backdrop about this woman of faith by sharing with you a little about Hannah and what she did to change the life of her family and how we can do this also. So if you have your Bibles, take a look at 1 Samuel, okay, 1 and 2 Samuel, and we'll proceed there. Pastor Tom, I'd like to not use this reference, if I could. Could you get an NIV and bring that up for the references? It's better. And take a look and just look up 1 Samuel chapter 1, okay? An NIV version, if you can find that. NIV. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to set you up here today. If you take into account the spiritual realm of prayer, you can understand how important prayer is in our lives. In the spiritual world, financial blessing, deliverance, joy, peace, and healing is already there. But the process of prayer is like seed time and harvest. Once you pray, your words are heard by God, and it takes time to work things through, because God is not a failure if the answer to prayer is a little bit longer than you think, okay? He's always heard your prayers. 1 Samuel chapter 1, please. Okay, the key is knowing this. God has already answered your prayer when you pray, but the process has to be made a little bit longer than you think a lot of times, okay? And that's kind of confusing. Some people don't understand. I really need the, could you get me a written word somewhere? This Bible is a little bit amplified, and I'd rather not use it. God is never a failure. He's never a failure. He is a good God, and he knows what he's doing. And so today I'm going to give you a scripture here in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, and this is Tracy Northway and I, one of our favorite scriptures. I love this scripture. Ephesians 3, 20 to 21, it's, "Now God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond what we could ask or think." Now God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond what we could dare ask and think. Now, because prayer is a process in the spiritual world, many people perish for a lack of knowledge because they may not see the answers to the prayers within 3 minutes or 3 days or even 3 weeks. And so they give up. And they think that God hasn't heard them, or they think that their prayers aren't important. But the thoughts and actions of faith put things into effect immediately. But we cannot be limited by what we see, taste, touch, or feel. We cannot be limited by that. The truth is this: if we were to look at the spiritual realm and see all the things that are happening in the spiritual realm, how God is putting this person in place, he's fixing this in the background, he's taking care of this person to give to this person so they can give to you, or your healing is working in your body a little slower than you think, the cells are starting to move quickly, the brain is being healed as you pray, we would be so astonished at all these marvelous things that are happening. that we cannot see. And maybe we haven't seen the full manifestation of something yet, but I know for a fact of one person who, Andrew Womack is actually his name. We are going to be connecting with him probably pretty soon, in fact, for a Bible school. And his ministry, he was a very fine man of God. He is a fine man of God. But at the time, he had a son who died, literally died. And so he went in and put his hands upon his son, and he prayed, and he prayed. And this man's son was actually in the morgue at the time. Okay? So he prayed, and he didn't see any results, but he kept praying. He spent 5 hours in the morgue praying over his son, and his son was raised from the dead. True story. Actually happened. You see, sometimes if we don't get that prayer right away, we don't see something happen right away, we get discouraged. But we cannot be discouraged when we don't receive the results right away. You know, we can command that cancer to leave, and it may take 12 hours, it may take 12 days, it may take 2 months, it may take 2 years. But it will happen because God has heard our prayer. He has heard our prayer. And once we believe, all these things go into effect. That's why through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Pastor Tom. You found the NIV. Thank you so much, 1 Samuel. Thank you so much. I'm going to share with you now a little bit about a woman of faith, okay? She exhibits some faith that she could not see at the moment. In fact, she had so much faith that some of us would be just dumbfounded by her kind of belief. But let me share with you what she did, okay? There was a certain man in a from Ramathis, and he was from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tehu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. One was called Hannah, and the other was called Penaniah. Year after year, this man went up from this town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord. And he loved both of his wives. He loved Penaniah, and he loved Hannah. But Hannah had no children. Okay? And so the Bible says this, that she went into the town where they were going to make sacrifices. She went, and she sat in the church at the time, and she began to pray so fervently that the Bible says this, she prayed in her mind, but her tongue were just moving like this. And she was so grieved at this. She had no children. She wanted to have children. She wanted to have a family because that was so important to her, obviously. It was a sign of blessing in your life if you had children then. It was just, I mean, there was nothing worse than not having a child in those days. And so she fervently and dramatically prayed so hard that what happened was, it says, and as she kept on praying, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, though her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. So Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, "How long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine." Okay, now can you imagine, let me share with you this. This is kind of like an example. Here you are, you know, you come knock on the door. We have prayer time. You walk upstairs in the sanctuary, and you're sitting there, and you're praying like this with all your heart. And Pastor Tom comes over by you and says, "Why are you drunk? Stop drinking all your wine." I mean, this is literally what happened. If you can put yourself in that kind of position, you can see that most normal people, don't you think they would have got offended and say, "Bless God, I'm leaving the church. I'm not going to hang around here." Not this woman. She had some kind of faith that was remarkable. She had faith that could move a mountain. And it's so beautiful. I got to show you this in just a few minutes. Just watch this, okay? She said this, "Not so, my Lord," Hannah replied. "I'm a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I've been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." And then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. And she said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. And then she went her way, and it says, and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. So early the next morning they arose and worshipped before the Lord, and then they went back to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah actually had relations with Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, saying, because I have asked the Lord for him. Now, I've got to set a little backdrop here about Hannah. She prayed, and she prayed, and she prayed. And what she prayed was so valuable. She said, Lord, if you give me a child, I will give this child back to you. I want you to know this. This woman was praying in desperation, but she was also praying in dedication because she wanted a child to give to the Lord. So she did that. Now, if you could see the kind of faith this woman had, though, is understanding this. This same man that came to her and accused her of being drunk was the same person she was going to put her whole life into. She was going to give her son to Eli, the priest, by the way, who had two reprobate children, Hophni and Phinehas. And those were reprobate kids. They were doing nasty things all over the church. But this woman said, Lord, if you give me a son, I want to give this son back to you. Now, can you see the kind of faith this woman had? This was not a normal person. This is not a normal lady. This is a remarkable woman who prayed a very powerful prayer of dedication to the Lord. Hallelujah. And when Elkanah, it says, went up with all of his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord to fulfill his vow, Hannah did also go. And she said to her husband, after the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always. Do what seems best to you, said the dad. Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word. So this woman who had an only child gave her only son for the work of the ministry. Now that's remarkable, but you know, it'd be different if she was putting her son into the hands of someone who was excellent, who was praiseworthy, who could really rear this son. But she was giving this child totally and completely to the Lord. Seriously, totally and completely to Jesus, to the Lord. Because she had no hope of this child ever becoming something great. With the track record that you can see with Hophni, Phinehas, and with Eli. Now, think about that, and I'm going to continue on. Okay? After Samuel was weaned, she took the boy, and young as he was, along with the three-year-old bull, and went to make sacrifices. And when they had slaughtered the bull, they brought the boy to Eli, and she said to him, as surely as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here before you praying. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. What a woman of word. What a woman of faith. I love that. I love people who say what they mean and mean what they say and keep their commitments. And so does God. This is a woman of faith. Hannah's prayer. Now notice this. After she prayed, after she gave her son to the Lord, it says she worshiped the Lord, and this is what happened. As she prayed, she said, she was praying and dedicating her son to the Lord. She said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is exalted. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you, God. Do not keep talking so proudly, or let your mouth speak such arrogance, for the Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. The bows of the warriors are broken, and those who stumbled are armed with strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for food, and those who were hungry hunger no more. And get this. Now, this is a prophecy. This is called prophetic prayer as she's praying. But she who was barren has borne seven children. That's what she's praying. She's prophesying in her prayer. the barren woman has borne 7 children. And the Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust. He seats them with princes. For the foundation of the earth are the Lord's, and he will guard the feet of his saints. Now notice that is her prayer. She's actually engaged in such worship to the Lord that she's prophetically prophesying her own future. Here she was. All she had was 1 child. But I'm going to read to you a little bit more here. Eli's sons, though, were very wicked, and they had no regard for the Lord. And now it was the practice of the priests with the people that whenever anyone offered a sacrifice, and while the meat was being boiled, the servant of the priest would come with a 3-pronged fork in his hand, and he would plunge it into the pan or the kettle, and whatever the fork brought forth, that's how they sacrifice the meat. It says, if the man said to him, let the fat be burned up first, and then take whatever you want, the servant would then answer, no, hand it over now. If you don't, I'll take it by force. So the sin of these young men was very great, though, because they were taking the offerings and they were eating them. This is Hophni and Phinehas. This is where she is putting her son in the hands of this kind of junk that's going on, okay? And so she's watching all this. She knows this is going on, but she's kept her word. She has. She's kept her word. She says, I'm going to keep my word. I'm going to give this child to the Lord, okay? And then it says, each year the mom, though, would come and make a little robe and took it to him when she went up with her husband to offer the annual sacrifice. And Eli would bless Elkanah, his wife, saying, may the Lord give you children by this woman to take the place of the one she prayed for and gave to the Lord. Then they would go home. And the Lord was gracious to Hannah, it says, and she conceived, it says, and in her life she gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters. Now, if you count that, including little Samuel, if you count that, that's 6 children. But what you don't realize is this, and this is the prophetic prayer, that Hannah was such a godly woman, she actually was instrumental in praying for Jesus Christ to be born in this earth. And that was her 7th son. That was her 7th son. Because if you know the whole story about this, it's so beautiful. Samuel was the one who anointed David. And David was the father, great-grandfather of Jesus. So she was instrumental in praying for Jesus Christ to come to this earth. I mean, she didn't even know what she was doing when she prayed that. The barren woman is a mother of 7 children. And here God used her in that capacity. What I'm asking you for today is, have you ever thought to yourself that you could exhibit this kind of faith too for your family? The problem with us, though, is that when it takes longer than 3 minutes, kick in unbelief. You know what I'm saying? Kick it in, you know. If it doesn't take 3 minutes, if it doesn't take 3 hours, whatever, I'm giving up. I'm throwing in the towel. Do you know what I've learned, though, that the Queen of Hearts, the patience of a woman, or the patience of Job, the woman knows how to believe for stuff, because when we have babies, amen, sometimes it takes a little longer than 3 minutes, doesn't it? Yep, it does. And so we know some ladies are in birth for over 3 days. You know, but you know that baby is coming. You know that as sure shooting as that child is in your tummy, that baby is coming out. What I'm asking for today is a group of mothers, and I will add fathers, moms and dads, who really believe what they pray will come to pass and are desperately engaged, hallelujah, in helping their children become what they're called to be. Do you know, in a book devoted to wisdom, I got these quotes out of a 1995 book, but I thought they were interesting because if they're bad here, think of how bad they are now. But in 1995, this is the outlook. It said 51% of kids still live with their biological parents. only 51. Out of 32 million, a half of those are raised with single-parent families, grandparents, siblings, etc. 54% of children are living with parents that are just both of them have to work. That's pretty steep. That's a tough life for a lot of parents and a lot of kids. But I want to give you some hope today, because despite whatever circumstance you may find yourself in, remember, prophetic prayer works. It's a process. It works. Here, here's Hannah praying, "You have made me." She literally saw this in a vision. "You've made me, the barren woman, a mother of seven." God wants us to understand, my friend, that God has a great calling, moms. You have a great vision. You know, a lot of kids are raising themselves right now. I heard of a little five-year-old, actually, who called 911 to get the mother arrested for smoking dope. What is happening? Children are raising children. How Christ is interested in mothers, I'm telling you, I'm so devoted to motherhood that I decided I was going to homeschool my daughter all the way through college. Because I knew that if I could help her in some way of educating her, that she'd have a chance. So many of the schools nowadays just don't give you what you need. They just don't. They just don't give you what you need. And so I didn't want to take that risk. I said, I don't want to risk it because she's too precious to me. Now let's talk today. Let's talk about how important children are. They're valuable to God. I used to save my money. save my money so that instead of watching the junk that was on TV, I'd save my pennies so I could go to the Christian bookstore and buy videos that I know would be valuable to her heart, instead of turning on the television and watching all that junk. I saved my money so she could watch Christian videos. And I knew it was valuable because she was getting the word in her heart. The Bible says that fathers and mothers are to command their children, both of them, fathers and mothers, especially the Bible says fathers to command your children and mothers to teach your children. Oh, that's powerful. That means they don't get away with just doing whatever they want to do. Fathers are to command their children, and a patriarchal mother is to explain and take time to explain to your children why it's important to do this, why we don't do this, and why we do this. So if we instruct our children why it's right to do this and why it's not right to do this, it's so important. Imagine a child growing up in this day and never understanding the things of truth. Oh, you know, if you look in the Bible in Proverbs 31, I want to show you another woman here who learned something very important, and she taught it to her son. I love this. Let's take a look at Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. Okay? We always hear about the last part of Proverbs 31, you know what I mean? But the first part of Proverbs 31 is even better, I think, in some kind of a way. Listen what the sayings are. This is the sayings of King Lemuel being taught these things by his mother. Okay? So here's a king, and his mother taught him these certain things. It says this, "O my son, son of my womb, O son of my vows, do not spend your strength on women." Have your dads ever taught stuff like that to the sons? Okay? Yeah, it's important. Don't go. I remember Pastor Tom said his dad sat him down and said, and turned to Proverbs and said, "All this stuff about this harlot woman, don't go there. Don't go there. You'll hurt your soul. Don't go there." Okay? And here his mom is actually teaching him these things. She said, "Don't spend your strength on women or your vigor on those who ruin kings. It says, "It is not for kings, O Lemuel, not for kings to drink wine, nor for rulers to crave beer." Hard drink doesn't belong to kings. That's what she's teaching them. And it's right from the Bible, okay? Now listen to this. "Lest they drink and forget what the law decrees." Because don't you get a little bit relaxed when you have a little too much? Ooh, and then you forget what the law says. You forget what God says. It says here, "Give beer to those who are perishing, wine to those who are in anguish," right? Or who are in pain. "Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more." It says, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly." And he's telling him, defend the rights of the poor and the needy. Now, why is it so important to understand children right now? They're facing all kinds of temptations that most people never have to go through. Have you ever had... in our daycare, you know, we have, I call them all my kids up there. There's 30 kids running around. I got 30 kids up there. I love it. They're all under the age of four. They're all my kids. But I do teach them. 35, that's right, Pastor Tom. We just got four more in this week. I teach them the ways of the Lord. I teach them right from wrong. I teach them what's good. I teach them what's bad. And when a child asked me one time what hell is, I said this, because I was trying to put it in his vernacular. I said, "You know what hell is like? It's like being in timeout forever." And never being able to come out of timeout. Oh, I don't want to go to hell. You know what I mean? So, therefore, you know, some of the most important things that we can teach our children is to never worship idols. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come to the Father but through Jesus. And what are idols? This is anything exalts itself against God. You know, teaching children not to swear, not to take the name of the Lord in vain. It's a prayer word. It's not a swear word. And Sundays, that's a holy day. Set it aside. It's a day of worship. It's a day to honor God. Go to church faithfully. I'm telling you, I learned that too. I got out of bed, go to church. My mom made me do that. Some days, you know what? It's amazing. Some people think that they can have the choice to do that now. You don't get the choice to do that right now. Parents, you tell your children, you're going to church. This is what we do. And you pray and you thank God that they're hearing the word. Because that's where they belong. Respecting mom and dad. Hallelujah. I remember one time when Laurel would give me the lip, man. I never gave my mom the lip. I never did. I mean, I never gave her the lip. I lied to her one time. I told her I had mascara on when I didn't. And she knew I had mascara on, so she gave me a whooping, okay? It was one time that I lied. I remember that. But I didn't talk back to my mom. But Laurel, she had a little lip at first, but I had a bigger lip. I had a bigger lip back. And that bigger lip took over, okay? Because I was able to help her to understand that you do need to respect dads and moms in authority. Respect for life is important. Respect for people is important. Life is here, and it doesn't consist in the abundance of things. And I think that's the reason why she received my correction, is because I wasn't out trying to gather a bunch of stuff. I wanted to love her, and I wanted to be with her. You know, parents, most important thing you can give your kids is not stuff, it's you. It's your time. It's your love. It's people. Life is about people. It's not about stuff. And I always looked at my husband, I said, you know, if we ever get to the point where this house becomes an idol, take this house and get rid of it. Because things are not important. What is important is us. And I think that is something that we need to understand over and over again. It's not our place to try to gather a lot of stuff for our kids. Wouldn't you rather fellowship with your daughter? Wouldn't you rather fellowship with your sons? You know, and be thankful for what you got. Life does not consist, the Bible says, in the abundance of things. Amen. But you got to be tough about it. You got to say, nope, we can't do this, but you got me. You got me. Nope, we can't do this. We can't do this. But you got me, and I'm here for you, honey. There's nothing wrong with saying you can't buy this or you can't have this or whatever. There's nothing wrong with saying that. You say, no, it's not the right time. It's no, we can't afford that right. But you got me, and I'm here for you. You go out and have a piece of pie together, enjoy some fellowship and some talking. That's what life's all about. So, hallelujah. That's worth an applause right there. That was worth coming for right there. Right there. Right there. You got me. You got me. Okay? You know, and I think one of the most important things we can do right now is to remember that our busyness can sometimes get in the way of what God wants to do and that supernatural things. This is a year for our children to see supernatural things. God knows what we need. He knows how to get it to us. And so often we limit our thinking. We say, we'll never overcome these challenges. We'll never face our dreams. We'll never have those things that God has called us. But today, I want to disregard every word of the devil that has come to your mind. I want you to erase it from your mind, because the problem is that we tend to look for answers only in the natural realm when God wants to show us his perspective today. Just because we don't see a way doesn't mean that God doesn't make a way. Amen. Just because we can't see it fast enough, God will make a way. Hallelujah. It takes a long time for a child to mature. It takes a long time for a child to grow, even 9 months in the womb. But it takes a whole long time for a child to understand the ways of the Lord. So don't get impatient. Someone once told me this: I don't think I'll ever get well. And I looked to them and I said, wait a second here. I don't think I'll ever get well. Wait a second. What does God say about that? What does God say about that? Whose report are we going to believe? Are we going to believe the report of the Lord? Are we going to say, if God before us, who can be against us? The Lord is my healer. He's my blesser. He's my helper. I don't know what time he has ordained for certain things to come to pass. But according to medical science, I told her, yeah, you may have a negative report. But whose report are we going to believe? God is restoring health to you. God's restoring your soul. He's restoring your mind. He's giving you back your dignity. He's showing you that he loves you. And he believes in you. And he'll restore everything that the devil has taken. And she's now whole today. Because with man, hallelujah, it may seem impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Hannah believed for the supernatural. She believed. She gave her only son. Just a lot like Jesus. God the Father and Jesus. She gave her only son. And what did God do back? Multiplied the blessings. So God is an extraordinary God. Hannah believed for the supernatural. And when you hear the truth, don't try to complicate it. Don't try to figure it out and say how it's going to happen. Just say L-I-B. What does that mean? L-I-B. L-I-B. What do you think? What do you think it stands for? L-I-B. Just say L-I-B. Yes, David got it. Amen, David. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Just say that out loud. Lord, I believe. You may be sick, but Lord, I believe. You may be in debt, but Lord, I believe. You may be down right now, but Lord, I believe. Just say that again. Lord, I believe. That's powerful. Get into agreement with God. This is the year for supernatural things to happen. This is a year for you moms to see supernatural things happen, because God has 1,000 ways to bring your dreams to pass. You don't have to figure it out, though. Don't even dare figure it out. Just say simply, Lord, I believe. L-I-B. Lord, I believe. Turn to somebody and say, Lord, I'm believing for you, too. I'm believing for you, too. Hallelujah. Whoo. Hallelujah. Just say it again. It feels so good to say that. Lord, I believe. There's joy in believing. There's peace in believing. It's supernatural faith. God said if you delight yourself in him, he will give you the desires of your heart. And he'll cause people to want to be good to you, Take the limits off of God today. Say, oh, God, you're too good to me. You know, how many of you want to say that? God, you're too good to me. It's happening. God, you're too good to me. Now, I got to tell you a true story here. Take the limits off of God. This is a true story. How many of you ever heard of Dodie Osteen? Anybody heard of Dodie Osteen? Okay. Now, she's a woman of faith. She understood that she needed to take the limits off of God because not only did her husband not want this, but her family thought it was impossible too. But she kept saying, Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. She wanted a swimming pool for her family to have, to enjoy in the summertime. She thought it would be good for them. And so she said, Lord, I believe. And she would come up with ways of trying to believe. So she would put swimming pools around and look at swimming pools and put them up on her refrigerator and post them here. And she would just see swimming pools in her mind. And she was responsible for something that I really believe is important for us to understand right now. She just did it. She just said, I don't know when it's going to happen, but I believe it's going to happen. And so she didn't say, well, someone else is going to be responsible for my faith, because she was the only one that was really wanting it at the time. So she said, I believe. Now get this. God gave a couple who was over 100 miles away, a vision to come to the church and to talk to Dodie Osteen about building a swimming pool for her. This is a true story. God gave a couple from another state over 100 miles away and said, I'm going to come over and I need to talk to Dodie Osteen because God says she wants a swimming pool. And so they knocked and they came to talk to her, and she got her swimming pool free of charge. They donated that to her. Now, I mean, tell me about it. So many of us limit God. We cannot limit God. Say it again. Lord, I believe. See, this prayer thing is a process. Everything is a process. God is lining up the right people. He's lining up the right opportunities for you. Who would have thought that someone 100 miles away would come and donate this? But Lord, I believe. It's the timing. Here's the key. We don't know how. We don't know when. But we do know it is so because God says so. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Is there anything too hard for God? Is there anything that God cannot do? Let me encourage your believing today. Let me encourage you. Just say, Lord, I believe. Now, I'm going to tell you something here. God is in control. If he's in control of the universe, if he's directing our steps, he can cause a friend to call you and pay off your mortgage like he did with our other church. When we were over in Mequon, he called, somebody called up and paid off our mortgage one day. That's what I'm believing for right now in this church too. Someone is going to call us up, pay for our mortgage. Somebody already called us up and paid for, gave us the land around here in this coal area. Mr. Cole called us and gave it and donated the land. And that's the very land that I was believing for a school. Isn't that cool? The very land that I was believing for a school, was donated to us. Amen. Amen. Now, God can cause a friend to call you and pay off your mortgage, too. You say, really? Oh, yeah. Are you believing? Are you believing? Where's your faith? Come on. God can do that. God can do that. Amen. He did it for us. That other church over there was totally paid for, and we never had to make any payments. That's the way we believe, okay? Now, he also can rain a kitten down to a little child. Because that already happened too. A little girl was praying for a kitten. And mom said, no, for the longest time. No, you don't, I can't afford it. God's going to have to give you a kitten somehow supernaturally for this to happen. Well, the little child is in the backyard, and a kitten comes flying through the air and plops in the backyard. And this is a true story. The kitten had got caught in the tree, and someone trying to get the kitten down, it actually backfired, and the kitten kind of slingshotted right into the other neighbor's yard. And so mom repents, and mom goes, okay, I'm getting you a kitten. You see, God knows how to do it. So release your faith today. Release your faith for the supernatural. This is a supernatural year. Moms, it's a supernatural year. Dads, it's a supernatural year. You can see things happen with your children. That's supernatural. But you may have to stand up for what you believe and say this quite often. God, I believe. God, I believe. And remember this, that when you pray, God moves. There is a process to everything. And there's a process to it, and it doesn't always happen instantly, especially not with kids. I mean, they take a long time to really grow up. But when they grow up, they're awesome. When they grow up, they'll turn, and like that song, Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save you? Mary, did you know that your baby girl would save you someday? We don't see it right now, though. But we have to live outside of the realm of what we see, taste, touch, and feel. And live in the realm of the supernatural, where we believe God's promises and we see them. We own them. They're ours. Revival is here. God has called us to bring revival to Milwaukee. God has called us as a church of every nation and every generation. God has called us to do this. And God will see us through. He'll bring us into the vision. And the foremost thing that God had put upon my heart is a church for every generation and every nation. And it's happening. There may be some people that don't understand I think out of many churches in Milwaukee, we're one of the only multicultural churches. And it really stinks in my eyes. I think it stinks. And it stinks in God's eyes too. And God wants us to be a church of every nation, every generation, where everybody understands one another. And we never show any prejudice for each other. Never. In heaven, there's not a white church and a black church and a Hispanic church and an Italian church. There's not. It's all one church. It's all one body. It's all one faith and one blood. And we have to learn how to get along with one another and see past the face. Like Martin Luther King said, I pray for the day when we will not judge men by the color of the skin, but by the content of their character. That is a quote that God wants us to live deep within our spirits. That's what makes life fun. I don't want the same color of anything. That's boring. That's boring to me. It really is. I mean, when Tom got me roses, I said, I want all different colors. And he got me all different color roses because I love it. God loves it. And he's asking us to get used to things here on earth as they are in heaven. Hallelujah. So let's stand up and let's pray that our faith would grow this year. Amen? That we would believe. Say, Lord, I believe. I believe for my children. I believe for my family. My child is taught of the Lord. And great is his peace. And great is her peace. I'm believing for a supernatural year, Lord. I believe that my children will rise up. I believe for favor with my whole family. I will love them and do what I can to bless them always. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be